Hey everyone, this is our episode for Thursday, April 30th, 2020. Food insecurity has long been a problem facing people across the country. And for many children, not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or only eating food that lacks nutrition, devastates their ability to focus, learn, and stay healthy. Black-led efforts like STL Lunch and the Hands Up United Books and Breakfast Program have recognized that food access is a racial equity issue, and the need that arises especially when school is out of session for summer. Now, with COVID-19 closing schools until the next school year, food insecurity for children has become even more pressing than before.
I know what it's like to not have a home. I know what it's like to have to worry about, how am I going to feed my kids? I don't want my kids to ever say I'm hungry. And I can't go, you're not hungry, you just ate your board. That's the difference between them saying that and them physically being hungry because there's no food.
In this episode, we'll focus on a parent, a school board member, and a community advocate in the Ferguson-Florissant School District and hear about the struggle to ensure that students in North St. Louis County are educated and fed during the pandemic. I'm Jalian Yang, and from St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here. Janiquel J. Johnson is a parent of a student in the predominantly Black Ferguson-Florissant School District in North St. Louis County and the lead census organizer for Metropolitan Congregations United. She's seen firsthand how food insecurity impacts students in her son's school.
I was talking with my son and asking him, you know, how many of your friends depend on the school lunch program? And he was like, there's a few that need it. And he's a junior in high school. So I'm only thinking about the younger kids who are like, okay, they really need access to these meals. They have parents that probably are working in essential positions and they're not at home to cook for them. They're not at home to make sure that they eat or get something nutritious.
When schools in the Ferguson-Florissant School District closed because of COVID-19, the district announced a meal delivery program that would provide breakfast and lunch to students through bus drivers at over 200 distribution points across the district.
So when I first learned of the school distribution, I was like, this is a great thing for the kids who need it. And even for some of those kids who probably need it and don't want to say anything, at least it gave them an opportunity to still continue to eat.
The Ferguson-Florissant School District serves small municipalities in North St. Louis County, with mostly Black residents who have a hard time accessing healthy food. But a few weeks after the meal delivery program started in late May, the district made the difficult decision to suspend it in early April. They revealed that two of their bus drivers had died, including one who had tested positive for COVID-19.
My first thoughts were, wow, how can, you know, what are the other resources that these people have in these communities to make sure that their kids eat? And I get that I'm savvy enough to go online and say, okay, what's the next food pantry? Or, you know, what are some of the other agencies giving away food? But many times those people who are in the most need of the resources are less likely to have access to them.
For many children, food insecurity isn't new, but a pandemic is.
Those parents are having to explain to their kids, hey, you know, the bus driver that, you know, has taken you to and from school and you feel safe around and you've dealt with for the past, you know, 2, 3 or however many years is no longer here. That's definitely making those parents have to explain the concept of death to those kids early. That may be their very first experience with having to deal with the loss of someone. And so that's definitely stressful on parents who, on top of trying to figure out how they're going to pay their bills, if they can still get back and forth to work, how to get groceries, making sure they have enough food to feed their kids, since now Ferguson-Florissant has discontinued the food program. And now I have to explain to my child the concept of death. And whatever their beliefs are around that is definitely stressful.
Healthy food options are especially scarce in the Ferguson-Florissant School District, making access to food even more difficult during the pandemic.
The Snooks closed, the Shop and Save closed. There's a Save-A-Lot that doesn't have the freshest produce, but it's also not easy to see access if you don't have a car. If you know about bus service in St. Louis, it's not that regular, it's not consistent, it's not frequent service. So they're having to take, you know, a 2-hour trek to go 2 miles down the road or 5 miles down the road to go to a grocery store. Research has shown that the African-American purchasing power is one of the most powerful entities in the United States. However, we're consistently and systematically left out of the resources that other more prominent communities tend to receive.
And she believes that an accurate count of predominantly Black communities can lead to more resources being placed in African American neighborhoods after the outbreak is contained.
The census makes communities, and that community is built by the funding and the infrastructure that's brought due to census dollars in the county. Putting in the new grocery store, providing additional funding for farmers markets or foods, you know, or fruit or vegetable stands or things of that nature. So what's carrying me is being in that place and wanting to dismantle those same systematic oppressions that are in place that are keeping other people from being able to feed their families.
Up next, we hear from a school board member about finding new ways to support students in need beyond the food distribution program, and a community advocate about what organizations are doing to address racial injustices in North St. Louis County. Dr. Sheila Powell-Walker has over 14 years of experience in social work, counseling, and community engagement, mostly in educational and mental health settings. And she serves as a board member for the Ferguson-Florissant School District.
Supporting children and families is at my core. The work of ensuring that people have equitable access to the support that they need so that they can live the lives that they choose. I've lived a lot of the things that the families I support are dealing with and trying to make it through. Sometimes there can sort of be this impression that if you need to access the food pantry, you're not a good person. You're not a person that's working hard. You're not a person that wants good things for your family. You're not working toward a goal. I was just that. But we just had those little pockets in the times that the kids were growing up where we needed a little bit of help. And I was just grateful that those food pantries were there.
And as Jay explained at the top of the show, there are many families in the Ferguson-Florissant School District who also need that little bit of help to get through each week.
I'm sure you are probably familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You cannot expect an individual to meet their needs at the next level until their needs have been met at the bottom level. So that bottom level is really about those basic physiological needs. Do I have a safe place to sleep every night? Do I have food? Do I have people in my life who care about me and sort of support me with getting to school each and every day? Someone to make sure that I have a hot meal and clean clothes and things like that. If children are coming to school and they are hungry or dealing with some other unmet need in their lives, they may not necessarily be able to focus on learning in the way that we want to.
District administrators figured that with schools closing, children wouldn't be able to focus on remote learning if they were hungry at home either.
This is unfortunately one of those circumstances where across the nation, people are sort of having to build the airplane, whether we're just talking about education or even other disciplines. People are having to build the airplane while it's in the air.
And when the meal delivery program was suspended, the district had to find other ways to ensure that students' needs were met.
The Student Services Department and the board and the rest of the district's leadership team at Ferg Floor were very careful to make sure that we compiled a list of community resources and get that information out to families so that in the interim, they knew that these are other places that you can contact. Places like Operation Food Search, St. Louis Area Food Bank, places that we know that families can connect with.
The district began partnering with the St. Louis Area Food Bank and local community centers to distribute meals. 2 weeks later, they resumed the meal distribution program with a drive-through model and social distancing for those who don't have their own transportation. The neighboring Riverview Gardens School District suspended and restarted their meal distribution program at the same time. So we asked Dr. Powell-Walker what policies and practices are needed to address food insecurity past the pandemic.
We need to recognize that, hey, maybe people are not as helpless as we sometimes want to make them appear. The food programs are great and they definitely need to be there, but we also need to be equipping people with information.
She says that information in the form of resource lists and online information hubs give people much needed options in uncertain times. And she hopes that increasing food access by removing qualifications for receiving it is another practice that will continue even when schools reopen.
St. Louis Public Schools, Ferguson-Florissant, and I'm sure many other districts are doing this as well. Their food sites are just open. meaning that you don't have to come and say, I go to school in this district, here's the proof that I go to school here, and then you're given the food. I think that people are just saying, you know, if children show up and they need food, we're going to feed them. I think that school districts and other entities in the community that serve children have a responsibility to think about what their poverty levels are and who was already accessing certain resources that were available. Is there some work that we need to be asking our local and our state legislators to do to come to the table to have some conversation around how do we begin to address this issue of food insecurity for our children? But I think we first have to decide that that's a priority. And we have to decide that there is something more at stake here than whether or not we're going to make a profit. You hear people say all the time, I want to do what's best for kids. I want to do what's best for kids. And so I would say to those people, now is the time. You know, put your money where your mouth is and let's get this done.
Our final conversation is with Erica Williams, a community advocate who's been fighting for healthy food access in North St. Louis County, where she lives and works as the founder and executive director of a Red Circle, an organization that aims to address racial injustice in North St. Louis County. Her children attend the Ferguson-Florissant School District, where their free and reduced lunches have supplemented what she's able to afford on a nonprofit salary.
We have food here. And if you dig a little deeper, you can find healthy food, but it's not obvious. Like, you have to know where to go. You have to have the transportation to get there. And you have to have enough money to purchase healthy food because it tends to be pricier in North County.
What is available are convenience stores, which Erica calls junk food stores.
Healthy food is the bedrock of any healthy society. And when a crisis hits, such as COVID-19, it really exacerbates what food is available, when they can get to it.
As unemployment rises, so are the number of families requesting assistance from food pantries. And Erica says that with increasing demand, families sometimes have to take what they can get, even if that means going without fresh produce or accepting items that are difficult to prepare, especially with limited appliances, utensils, or even running water at home.
One other point to make is with the social distancing aspect of it, families are getting a box of food, regardless of that family's healthcare needs, such as diabetes or high blood pressure. If we have been able to address healthy food access before the crisis, then these issues would not be so large now. You can go back, you know, in the early 1900s, 1800s, and look into cases such as redlining and restrictive deed covenant to know how the racism that was prevalent then still bleeds into how care and investment happens today.
Erica has started working with social work graduate students to create a report that makes the case for investing in healthy food access in North St. Louis County.
When you invest in healthy food in a region, that also helps to increase the economy of that region. Healthy food brings so much more than just food. It brings jobs, it brings entertainment, it raises property values. It causes things to want to happen, such as street improvements and things of that nature, which also creates jobs. But when a region is a food desert, food swamp, food apartheid zone, whichever term you want to throw in there, it's not just a food desert. It is a jobs desert, a health and wellness desert, an entertainment education desert.
In the meanwhile, her day-to-day work has had to shift during the pandemic.
We were in the process of building out our North County Agricultural Education Center in the city of Pine Lawn, Missouri, which would be space to not only grow food, but to teach the STEM behind food. And then we were also going to reopen our Healthy Community Market, which is an affordable farmers market with a garden, with nutrition education, exercise demos, resources, kids table, things of that nature. This would have been the second year for that.
They've had to put a lot of things on hold, from the Healthy Community Market, to volunteer recruitment, to fundraising, and even farming. But what has continued is community engagement in a different form. They've been working with community partners to pair nutrition education with food assistance through recipes, videos, and meal kits to older adults in Pine Lawn.
And it was just a really, really neat way of making, you know, lemonade out of lemons, so to speak. We're soon going to be able to purchase some tablets for seniors that don't have them and some hotspots so they can have access to the internet to be able to watch our videos.
They've also plugged into region-wide mutual aid efforts to meet needs in North St. Louis County.
A Red Circle is a part of Solidarity Economy STL, and that group is a part of a larger group that has formed what's called STL Mutual Aid. And what we've been able to do is receive notice of family needs through one intake system, which is really helpful. Instead of, you know, people sending requests here and there, they go through one intake link. And then I receive all of the requests for the North St. Louis County region. And then I'm able to, me and my team are able to contact the families and get details. And then we're able to either purchase groceries or procure groceries, hygiene products, diapers, other things to then take to a family or to leave them at a place that is convenient for the family to pick up.
Mutual aid fills in the gap, especially for families who experienced food insecurity long before the pandemic. Because of historical patterns of disinvestment continue to hold true, promises of federal aid ring empty for community advocates like Erica.
Missouri just got a ton of federal funding because of the COVID-19 package. Who's to say how much of that is going to be directed into North St. Louis County? When things like this crisis impact the community, they impact our community 10 times more. I can't stop doing what I'm doing just because things changed. I have to adapt and adjust to the changing landscape and do what I can. I have a voice and I have a platform. And what better way to use that voice and that platform is now to continue to highlight the disparities here, but to meet the people where they are so that they don't give up.
This show is produced by me, Jalian Yang, and my co-producer, Lauren Brown. This show is overseen by Tim Lloyd, Senior Producer of On Demand and Content Partnerships, and Robert Peterson, Director of Radio Programming and Operations at St. Louis Public Radio. From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.